Hello, my name is David Hennick, Program Coordinator for the CSIS Africa Program. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Jill Barkin, who recently authored a chapter on advancing democratization in Africa for the CSIS Africa Policy Review. Dr. Barkin, thank you for joining us today.
Good to be with you, David.
Dr. Barkin, I wonder if we could start by having you discuss how the levels of democratization on the African continent have changed since President Bush took office in 2000.
Well, the levels of democratization have changed on the continent in the following ways. First of all, what occurred on the continent was very much a continuation of a process that really began a decade before President Bush took office, that is, in about 1990-1991, when you had the end of what had been an era across the continent of either one-party rule or military rule, with half the countries being governed by military regimes and half by one-party regimes. Over the next decade, you began to see the opening up of most political systems across the continent with the holding of multi-party elections for the first time. And that process continued after President Bush took office in 2000, but with a major difference, and that is that the process slowed down. That is, the first big wins towards democratization really occurred in the 90s, and the progress was much slower after 2000, not so much because of the president, but rather because the easy first steps towards democratization, that is to say the holding of multi-party elections, took place, and those elections were repeated in most countries. But the more difficult challenge of building democratic institutions, such as judiciaries and legislatures that would hold executives accountable, and better electoral systems and the like, those are much more difficult tasks. And in some countries, the process proceeded, in others it did not.
Excellent. And given those circumstances, how would you assess the Bush administration's performance on advancing democratic reform in Africa?
Well, I would assess it in the following way. Unfortunately, I don't think the Bush administration paid that much attention to the variations that were occurring across the continent with respect to democratization. If I could really go back to your first question for one more moment, the pace of democratization slowed down for the reasons that I mentioned, but more importantly, what we saw by 2000 and certainly continuing now at the end of the Bush presidency at the end of 2008 is a wide diversity of regimes across the continent. So whereas back in 1990, half regimes were one party, as I indicated, and half military, at the two decades later, you have a small number of countries which can be called liberal democracies. And then at the other end, you have a small number of countries which are politically closed, semi-failed states, places like Sudan and Zimbabwe, Eritrea, Equatorial Guinea, and then in between you have the majority of African countries where it's a very ambiguous situation, and it's in those countries where the challenge of building these democratic institutions is greatest. So now to get back to the question about the Bush administration and what it accomplished, first of all, I don't think it really distinguished between the diversity of polities that they were faced with at the beginning of the decade and developed a targeted strategy to deal with those different polities. Secondly, one also got the impression as the decade passed, and particularly after 9/11, that democratization was seen very much as part of an overall counterterrorism strategy rather than a strategy to achieve a stable governance on the continent. I'm overstating it a bit, but I do want to make a contrast here on where the emphasis, I think, lay during the Clinton years and where it shifted during the Bush years. That said, the amount of financial resources that the Bush administration put into U.S. efforts in promoting democratization on the continent increased substantially, particularly after 2005. And in fact, it more than doubled during the Bush presidency.
Interesting. So what policy recommendations would you suggest for the incoming Obama administration to further advance democratization in Africa?
Well, I think we have to take a very hard look, again, at the diversity of regimes across the continent, liberal democracies on the one hand, politically closed systems on the other, and then really two types of regimes in the middle, what I would call aspiring democracies. They're a group of about 15 countries which, with some support and perseverance, particularly on their part of their leadership, could develop the type of institutions that I alluded to before and, shall we say, move up and become consolidated democracies, consolidated liberal democracies over a period of 5 or 10 years. And then there's another group of states just below them, about 18 in all, which are really semi-authoritarian regimes. That is to say, they hold elections, but there's no real intention to develop a true democracy in these countries. It's window dressing. There are elections. Richard Joseph has called this virtual democracy. There are elections. Civil society is allowed to function within the urban areas. But in terms of serious efforts at arriving at accountable government, not much is going on. So the Obama administration needs to look at these different groups of states, target its strategy, its interventions accordingly. And I think also in this regard, given the large number of polities in Africa, as you know, there are 48 of them, we can't be everywhere given our resources at the same time. And so I would argue that we should target our efforts in democracy promotion at this group just below the top, that is what I've called aspiring democracies, because there is where the prospects for success is greatest, and there is where we should really emphasize long-term programs at building key institutions. It's going to require somewhat larger programs than we're doing now, and shift away from where most of the money was spent during the Bush years, and that is not on this group of states, but in many cases, post-conflict societies. One of the interesting things about the increase in expenditure during the Bush presidency is that the bulk of it was spent in just five countries, places like Sudan, DRC, Liberia. In other words, conflict or post-conflict societies. And I'm not arguing that those are not important, because indeed they're a threat to the stability of the region. But in terms of constructing viable democracies on the continent, the prospects in those countries are not as promising as elsewhere. Those are really the problem. Really, there is to reestablish peace and some mode of stable governance. Democracy comes later, and we have to make a distinction between these two very different exercises.
Dr. Barkin, that's very interesting. What would you do, though, specifically to implement some of these policies you're recommending?
Well, we must really strengthen the U.S. Agency for International Development, which is the prime U.S. government agency that is responsible for designing and implementing our democracy promotion programs in the countries where we operate around the world, not just in Africa. And sad to say, during the last 8 years, USAID has really become hollowed out as an institution in general, and the Office for Democracy and Governance within aid has actually become a weaker body, very heavily dependent on contractors to do their work. Their personnel needs to be rebuilt within that part of aid and within the agency in general in order to have a more robust policy that targets these aspiring democracies that I've been discussing earlier in my remarks to you.
Excellent. And it's my understanding that the Bush administration developed the Millennium Challenge Corporation. Could you talk a little bit about how that has helped advance democratization or whether it has at all?
Well, the Millennium Challenge Corporation is a very innovative idea. I'm glad you asked that question. In many ways, it's the most innovative idea in the foreign aid area advanced by the Bush administration, and in a way counterbalances some of the problems over at aid. But the Millennium Challenge account is basically a program that rewards winners. That is to say, it rewards those countries that have achieved a certain level of advancement with respect to democratization and accountable governance generally, economic reform, and social policies, particularly in the area of education. So it provides an incentive for some countries to try to move up on those areas. But the problem is, as I said, it targets the winners, those at the top, and it doesn't deal with those just below the bottom, just below the top, that I've put in this aspiring democracy category. And it should also be recognized that MCC provides very large block grants to those countries that qualify for assistance under MCC. Its programs are not particularly targeted towards the advancement of democracy. There is a threshold program that seeks to work with some states that are on the cusp of meeting the standards for MCC, but the ironic aspect of those programs is that they're implemented by aid, so that you then go back to the problem that I mentioned a minute ago, of the weakness that's developed within aid and within the Office of Democracy and Governance in particular.
Excellent. Dr. Barkin, thank you very much for joining us today.
All right, it was a pleasure.
For more information on Dr. Barkin's chapter or any of our other chapters for the CSIS Africa Policy Review, please visit www.csis.org/Africa.